And I'm not one to throw around big words, but I always do when it comes to Trevor Maddich. The affable Trevor Maddich from ESPN. We're glad to have him. He's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Trev, how you been?
Man, I've been great. How have you been doing?
We're hanging in there like everybody, trying to do the right thing and have some common sense and think big picture so we can help people and get back to whatever normalcy there is and really start looking at sports as we used to look at it, you know, in the driver's seat. And right now it's taking a back seat, and that's okay. We're going to have a draft coming up here in a few weeks. And I'll ask you, certainly the quarterback is always the most intriguing thing. It's the ultimate headline, isn't it, because of Tua's injury and now that he says he's 100% and now teams may have to take his word for it or an independent doctor's word for it. Where do you come down on the risk-reward with Tua?
I would not draft him in at the top part of the first round. Generally, I'm against drafting any quarterback in the top half of the first round. And it's not because the NFL doesn't need elite quarterback play. They do. But if you go back the last dozen Super Bowls or so and look at the quarterbacks who started those games and only count them once. So Brady only counts once. Peyton and Eli only count once. And then count Carson Wentz as the Super Bowl quarterback of the Eagles the year they made it, even though he was hurt when the game was played. But still count him. He played most of the regular season. What you'll find is about half of those quarterbacks were taken in the top half of the first round. And half were taken in the bottom half of the first round, not in the first round at all, or they were undrafted. And so, or came off the street, or they were traded to the teams that they ended up starting the Super Bowl for. And so you need elite quarterback play, but I don't think you need to get that quarterback in the top half of the first round. As a matter of fact, there are a lot as many busts as there are hits at that position. Now, having said that, when it comes to Tua, the thing about Tua is I think he is a phenomenal talent. He's an instinctual monster. I mean, you watch some of the things he did at Alabama, some of the long passes that he hit with pinpoint accuracy. A lot of that was instinct. He just felt what was happening, and he just nailed it. And I think he's got the football intelligence to be able to learn the progressions that he'll need to transition to when he gets to the NFL to supplement that instinct. The problem is, in each of the last 3 years, he's had three surgeries in the last couple of years, right? Both of his ankles now have like bolts in the ankles to help support the bones. And then his hip had that horrific injury late last season. Now, I don't know that you could say any one of those was anything other than a freak accident. But it may be that Tua just falls in a way that he's more likely to get hurt. I mean, you've seen this, Bobby. I mean, I've seen guys fall and get dumped on by piles of players, and I'm thinking they're going to need to be carted off the field. And they pop up and run the next play. And then I've seen guys go down, and I didn't see what happened to them, and they are carted off the play. You know, and I'm not talking about like an ACL. I just mean, anyway, so for Tua, I love his talent, but I don't trust that he can stay healthy in the NFL, even if he recovers 100% from this hit.
So with Trevor Maddich, ESPN covering college football for the mothership on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. And Trevor, you know, your team you're close with, the Washington Redskins, you know, Trent Williams apparently is wanting out. So let's look at tackles, maybe the sexiest position in the draft. Everybody wants to talk about what is your opinion on some of the tackles in the draft, and who would you say maybe the two or three best would be for a team that would be in the market for one?
Well, I think the ones that are being talked about, Wirfs from Iowa is one of the best. You know, I think one of the guys that might be able to fall to the late first round, maybe even into the second round, that I think it would be a good risk at tackle is the kid out of USC. It's Anthony Jackson. I can't remember his name right now. I'm spacing it. But that guy only played 3 years. He started young. He's only 20 years old. And
Austin,
he's been hurt a little bit. Yeah, Austin Jackson, yeah.
Yep.
And he's been hurt a little bit, but he came back and had a great season this last season. Last summer, before the season started, he donated bone marrow to his sister for a transplant. Came back and played the entire season. I mean, the guy's got tremendous off-field character in addition to football character. And with a little bit of time in an NFL weight room, I think he's got the ability to develop into a solid tackle right or left. right? The problem is a lot of the other guys, Isaiah Wilson from Georgia, guys like that, once you get out of the elite guys at the top, the worst of the world, then you've got Guy Becton out of Louisville. You've got holes in the game. And so you've got to match them very carefully with your system. There's a kid out of Houston that everybody loves because of how he did in the Senior Bowl. But the thing that worries me about him is that when I watch him on tape, I don't see him push people around. I just don't see him push people around. And I think he needs a lot of work in an NFL weight room before he could be in a power running attack. But he is very nimble. And so if you're in a zone running attack and you need a tackle that can kind of get out of his space and get to the second level, he might be a guy that you might draft. So Isaiah Wilson of Georgia is a mauler. He is a mauler. But if you put him out in space to block some of the better pass rushers coming off the right side, if he plays tackle in the NFL, I think he can get in some trouble because he's not quite nimble enough for that, even though he's being talked about as a potential right tackle in the league. So, you know, these are compromises that you'll have to make at the offensive line position because, Bobby, again, as you watch tape on a guy, you're not going to attack his strength, right? You're going to attack what he's weak at. And so if you've got an Isaiah Wilson at right tackle, then – what you're going to do is you're going to put a really good pass rusher on him when it's a passing situation and see if he can set out in space. And so I'm a little worried about some of the compromises that need to be made.
Talking with the former first-rounder himself, Trevor Maddich here from ESPN. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Brownies are picking 10, and everybody believes you got to find the best guy there. Will the Browns at 10 be choosing – I don't know, from the second or third best? Or who do you think would be there at 10 for the Browns? Because, I mean, a lot of people think that some of these tackles will already be off the board then.
Yeah, a lot of them probably will. Although, at 10, you may get a guy like Becton out of Louisville. I mean, he was, 360 pounds at the combine. He was a workout monster there. And that matches a lot of what he did on the field, on tape. And I think that might be interesting for the Browns because ultimately what's going to help their passing game is to get the running game going. I just go back to the Titans, and I look at them starting to feed the ball to Derrick Henry a ridiculous amount of times. They had a 247-pound running back going downhill at the defense, and then the play-action pass game lit up. I mean, Ryan Tannehill was the most efficient quarterback, the most effective quarterback in many years at play-action pass because of what they were able to do. And a guy like Becton showed that he was nimble enough in the combine drills, the cone drills, the movement drills, et cetera, that he ought to be able to do enough in space to put him out there. But then with his power and his size, he ought to be able to smash that right side of the line and create the kind of running game that Baker Mayfield is going to need so that he's not doing everything.
We're talking to Trevor Maddich of ESPN here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And since we've talked a lot about offensive tackles, one of the guys who's kind of the presumptive number two pick, unless there's some trades going on, is Chase Young. I've got a chance, Trevor, to watch him up close and personal for 3 years and then following the Boses. And I have my opinions on him and what he can be and what he can do. But being an offensive lineman that thoroughly studies all of this, what are your thoughts on Chase Young and his potential ceiling in the NFL?
His ceiling, I think he's as good a risk as I've seen in many years in the draft. I mean, it's never a sure thing, but the thing I loved about him is his technique. I mean, he's got the motor, that's great, but you know what? I could have a motor, and it wouldn't matter. I'm not going to rush the passer very well. And so he's got that. He's got the football IQ, but what he's got right now coming out of college is elite hand-fighting skills. I mean, he's like Mr. Miyagi out there, wax the car, paint the fence. He is defeating an opponent's hands decisively when he tries to rush the passer, when he goes to rush the passer. Now, you combine that with his quickness off the ball, you combine it with good strength, and you combine it with the ability to flip his hips. And at the college level, he was unblockable. And I think in the NFL, he will be really difficult to block. And when I say move his hips, this is huge because – you watch Chase Young on tape, and when he slaps down the hands of an offensive tackle, a lot of times the tackle's in good position with his feet, but then he stops his feet to recover his hands. While the tackle stops his feet, Young continues to move his feet and flip his hips around that tackle, and by the time that guy can recover, it's too late. and Young is by him. And I keep watching over and over again on tape, a guy in position, knowing that he's got to fix the problem with his hands, with his feet. But he stops his feet. That's the natural thing for a lineman to do, even in the NFL. And because Young is so excellent at creating those kinds of problems for offensive linemen, I think he's going to step in and be effective from day one in the NFL.
Really good stuff with the former first-rounder himself, Trevor Maddich, here. Trev, it's great. We're up against the clock. We'll have you back soon, pal. Thanks for making the time for us.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you.